It's our crest, our coat of arms, and what it means to wear it.
Binsky will take the tap and ahead for Nudibara out to the neutral zone, finding Foligno.
It's when we dig deep.
Foligno's got help on the rush.
At the right moment.
And he drops it back for Dubinsky over to Savard. He shoots and scores!
It's our blue, and out of our blue, we rise.
Head to BlueJackets.com for tickets, news, and more.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Welcome to the Buckeye Extra Football Podcast. Rob Aller here with Bill Rabinowitz and Joey Kaufman. It's Tuesday, November 19th, I believe. It is November 19th. And what we've got here is a big week. We got Penn State week. We just came from the press conference with Ryan Day, Jeff Hafley, B.B. Landers, and who else was up there?
Justin Fields.
Remember Justin him? Fields? Yeah. All right, so guys, your takeaways from today. What was any news that came out of this? Go for it.
No real news, but you can tell they're probably more serious about this game, that you can kind of feel the intensity of this team. At multiple points, Ryan Day referenced this game being a talent-equated game, which is a nod to the number of recruits that Penn State has on its team that were either four or five stars coming out of high school. When B.B. Landers spoke, he even mentioned that the talent was equated. So you can tell this is something that Ryan Day's brought to the team. It's not just something that he's talking to the media about, but it's something he brought to the team. And he said that, hey, when talent's equated, you have to go back and be really smart, disciplined, all those sorts of things. Execution. I'm trying to think of what other football cliches I can kind of work in. But it is a game where they can't afford to get sloppy, and they have to be a little maybe tight and focused.
Ohio State opened as a 19-point favorite, which I think surprised a lot of people. From talking to Ryan Day and the coaches, and Jeff Hafley and players, it's pretty clear they don't really believe that or buy into it. I got the sense from them that they consider this, I mean, a real test. I mean, they've said the right things in past weeks, but you get the sense that they truly do believe that Penn State is a legitimate threat to them. I mean, I don't think this was any question somebody asked, is Chase Young going to be limited at all? Of course he's not. He's going to be ready to go and spitting mad and all those things. So Ryan Day did say that a lot of the other injured players, guys, I think the question referenced Austin Mack and Jonathan Cooper and maybe Baron Browning. I forget who the other person was.
Austin Mack.
Right. And he said that those guys, they expect them back. So that'd be a big boost if Ohio State
did. Did he say that? I thought he said he hopes they're back.
Well, he's optimistic.
He said they were overly cautious with holding guys out last week, which was a nice way to
put
it.
We're not risk you against Rutgers.
Right. That's the
right.
Well, I mean, this
unfiltered version.
This probably be a close game just because recent history last, what, three years, Joey? What's happened in this
game? Well, I think the last three games between Ohio State and Penn State have all been cited by a total of 5 points. So they've been crazy games. If among anybody Ohio State has played in the Big Ten, there hasn't been a series quite like Penn State. Michigan State's maybe the only one that compares because Michigan State's actually beaten Ohio State twice. But if you just look at the style of the game, to win the last 2 years, Ohio State was down double digits in the fourth quarter, had to rally back. 2016, you have that crazy blocked field goal in the final minutes where Penn State scores. I was watching that clip and felt bad for you guys being on deadline at that time. I had PTSD almost for just thinking about that game.
I appreciate that. It's very kind of you.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break, hear from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
When Rosati Windows arrives at an in-home consultation, we always tell our customer that a house can't talk to you, but it typically will give you signs that something isn't right. A home's windows are particularly communicative. Although they don't last forever, a high-quality, well-maintained window could last for many, many years. One, such as a Rosati window. However, at some point, they may not be at their best, so listen carefully to what they are telling you, and you will know that it's time to have them replaced. Are there drafts? Are they damaged or warped? Do they stick when you close or open them? If you answer yes to any of these, it may be time to call Rosati Windows for an at-home consultation. Learn more at rosatiwindows.com.
And we're back. We're back. Podfather is not with us today. We're in studio, but Podfather is off gallivanting somewhere.
New Orleans.
He's in New Orleans.
Is he?
He went
to New Orleans.
Rob
went to scout out the national championship site. Patrick's scouting out the national championship site. Maybe he's going to find a place for us to do kind of a live show like Game Day. Then Bill.
Cafe Du Monde. We'll set up shop right there.
And do you or Bill want to put on the mascot head of the team? That's how it works.
I'll leave that for Bill.
No, that's not happening.
Yeah. So, could be a dog, too. He loves dogs. Could be a bulldog.
Oh, yeah. He would love that.
Could be a bulldog.
I actually don't love all dogs. I just love mine.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All dogs.
Have you ever had a bulldog?
No. My daughter does, though.
All right. So, what are the keys to the game?
Well, I think Ohio State, the one thing that Penn State has been vulnerable with is the passing game. Secondary is pretty shaky. I asked Justin Fields about that, and, you know, not surprisingly, he didn't bite. He's a veteran when it comes to not saying much.
Beyond a veteran.
So I think that's the vulnerability for Penn State. They're very good against the run. It's going to be a test for Ohio State's run game, no question about that. But obviously, you know, so was it Wisconsin. It was number one run defense, number one defense. Ohio State had its way with Wisconsin. So offensively, Penn State's got some weapons, but there's some question about injury. KJ Hamler was hurt. We'll see what his status is. I don't think James Franklin said a whole lot about him today.
No, and he has this injury policy that's pretty similar to Ryan Day's in terms of he's not going to really say it all. So we probably won't know KJ Hamler's status until kickoff, really.
Right.
They're going to drag that out in the last minute because his whole thing and is that basically I'm not going to tell you guys if a player is hurt or going to play because I don't want Ohio State to know.
I found it interesting that Ryan Day went out of his way to say that James Franklin can win the big game. And the knock on James Franklin is he can't win the big game, right? The Rose Bowl. Joey, did you cover that game?
I did.
The Rose Bowl against USC where Penn State was down, then up big.
They were up by two touchdowns.
Yeah, and then Franklin kind of, I think they went into a shell maybe a little bit. Did they get concerned? No, they went the other way. They kept throwing the ball.
So that game ended, it was tied. It was about to go to overtime, and Trace McSorley uncorks a deep bomb, goes about 30 yards down the sidelines, and they're trying to mount this two-minute. There's less than a minute left, and they're trying to throw it deep, and it almost gets picked off. And then you think, okay, they're just going to knee and take this to overtime. No, they run the same play again. And after the one player for USC dropped it the first time, he catches it the second, then runs back, sets USC up for a game-winning field goal. So, no, James Franklin hasn't always panned out in close games. It's not always because you tighten up or anything. Sometimes maybe they would have been better to tighten it up and just give it to Saquon Barkley rather than having Trace McSorley throw the ball 40 yards. But his rep in the big game is that he doesn't win the big game. But, I mean, 2016 was a big win over Ohio State. He seems to get no credit
that was the first,
for that.
I mean, that was where it kind of started to change. He was in trouble.
Where he hasn't...
James Franklin's career, his job was on the line, and they won that game, and that kind of extended him. But once you get past that, I don't know.
Because earlier that year, they got whipped it in Ann Arbor against Michigan. That was a really bad loss. They lost by at least, I can't remember the score, but it was
10 game?
I was going to say it was 30-plus.
Regardless, the knock on him is can't win the big game.
Really, it should be the knock is he can't win the big game outside Happy Valley.
They beat Iowa this year, and I think Iowa was ranked, not real high, but I think Iowa was ranked at the time. But
that was the first time they'd beaten a ranked team on the road.
And last year, he pretty famously said after the game that we're a very good program, we're not elite, referring to Ohio State. Well, if anything, the talent gap has widened since then, given Justin Fields, a one-time Penn State commitment, is now obviously Ohio State's quarterback. But Penn State is the one team in the Big Ten, along with Michigan, that has recruited more or less at Ohio State's level. A lot of four-stars and five-star guys. Micah Parsons, their stud linebacker, was a guy Ohio State really wanted. So Penn State's one of the few teams that can go toe-to-toe with Ohio State on the recruiting trail as well. But Ohio State's won most of those battles.
Yeah, I thought Penn State was the toughest game on the schedule coming into the season. And I'm not exactly sure why I backed off that, kind of gone the other way.
You stick your guns, Rob.
Well, you take the facts as they present themselves, which is losing to Minnesota and then not looking great against Indiana. And now you wonder, you know, is this the toughest game? You know, I should have stuck my original thought and say Michigan, regardless, is going to be the toughest game because it typically is. I don't care what the score says. It's you know, you go into that tough. So I still think this will be a good test for Ohio State. But let's not forget, Wisconsin was, I believe, number one in defense when Ohio State played them. So, and they took care of business there. I expect a similar situation here.
Welcome.
You expect 38-7?
Well, it's 19 points, right?
So you think they're going to cover?
I'm not sure about that. I think it's a two-touchdown win.
The thing that I find interesting about this game, and I think it's one of the things that'll be the X factor, is since Penn State came to the Big Ten in 93, that game has typically been played in October. You don't typically see it this late on the schedule. It's now the week before Michigan. That's only happened once before. That was 2011 when they played Penn State and then Michigan in back-to-back weeks. So this is only the second time the schedule's lined up like this. And they haven't always played well the week before Michigan. It's been close games. Michigan looms large over your shoulder. So I wonder if this is something deep down they would rather have this game played in October. Or if you're a coach, do you rather have this game being played now when presumably you're a much better team than you were 6 weeks ago?
Personally, I think I'd rather have it earlier in the season. Not because they overlooked Michigan, but because this is a tough game. You're probably going to get a little more banged up in this game, and then you've got to go into Michigan a little more bruised up than you normally would be, having to play everybody. I mean, they're not used to playing guys in the second half, and so is that going to be a huge deal? No, but we're talking very small margins here once you get into this time of the season. You want everything to be trending up and perfect for Michigan game, and having to play Penn State, yes, if you win it, it's going to give you this huge confidence boost going into Michigan. But if it's close, maybe some doubt starts to creep in. I don't know.
I feel like this is the week, probably in hindsight, you'd rather play Michigan State this week and play Penn State in October.
Well, against Michigan State, you know you're going to get beat up. You may not lose, but you're going to get beat up because that's the way they play. But yeah, they would obviously prefer to not have Penn State and Michigan back-to-back. I mean, the one good thing, I guess, is at least they're at home, and Penn State, or Michigan, has to go on the road this week. So, you know, there's just a travel to Indiana.
It also gives you an opportunity to increase your, whatever, confidence level of the college football committee. You know, if you go back-to-back against Penn State and Michigan and win convincingly.
And Minnesota, too, which could be a top 15.
Do you leapfrog LSU? And we've talked about the playoffs. We don't need to get into that too much. But, you know, if you're looking for a bright spot or a way to spin it positive, it's you can impress the country by winning these two games specifically big.
They're going to have a better opportunity to make a closing argument than LSU will, definitely.
Right.
Well, if LSU crushes Georgia, that's a pretty strong closing argument, but they've got nothing until then. Really.
But over in this three-week span, that's one game. Ohio State has three games, which are of that caliber, I think. And I do think, we talked about this a little bit in our hotel edition of the podcast on Saturday night, but I do think the race for the number one seed is something that does matter. The college football playoff, we're recording this Tuesday afternoon now. The playoff rankings will come out Tuesday night. I think people expect it to hold serve from last week. LSU 1, Ohio State 2. I don't think a win over Rutgers will prompt Ohio State to leapfrog LSU. But down the back stretch of the season, I think that chase for the number one seed is important because the way things are trending now, it looks like maybe a Pac-12 team or Oklahoma is that fourth seed at this point. And I think you would much prefer to play them than you would to play Clemson if you're the two seed. Clemson is arguably as good as LSU, maybe the second best team in the country behind Ohio State. You could arguably make a case that it's Ohio State 1, Clemson 2, LSU 3, if you just look at best teams instead of quality wins. So I think I'd much rather play Utah or Oregon or Oklahoma than Clemson.
Yeah.
That's true, but again, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. I mean,
it's a podcast. Of course we can.
These are finally after 10 weeks of false starts or whatever you want to call it in terms of thinking UC or Wisconsin or Michigan State or we thought of one
or Michigan
Nebraska.
I mean,
early in the season they were really
stumbling.
And to Joey's point, the fact that Michigan has turned their season around does help Ohio State. I mean, it helps them if they beat them, that is. It doesn't help them if Michigan's for real. you know, Shea Patterson is the Big Ten player of the week, offensive player of the week. If Shea Patterson plays well instead of the mistake-prone Shea Patterson, that game becomes a lot tougher. And so, you know, Sean Clifford has replaced Trace McSorley as Penn State's quarterback and done better than most people thought he would. They've got good running backs. K.J. Hamler, obviously a very good receiver. They got a good offensive line. So I do expect this to be a real test.
Okay, we're going to take another break to hear from our sponsor. and we'll be back.
Hey, football fans. Leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for a sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score, because we've got the food covered. With hand-battered, cooked-to-order, always fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, craveable cane sauce in jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. One love.
Okay, and we're back in the broadcast room, broadcast central from the Columbus Dispatch. And Bill Rabinowitz, beat writer for the Dispatch. Joey Kaufman, beat writer for the Dispatch. I'm Rob Aller, sports reporter slash columnist for the Dispatch.
You sound like you're on NPR.
Well, you know.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong? Yeah, well, what? It's like, hey, like, you know, the other time we were in the hotel room, we were sounding like we were, you know,
that was Don Imus.
Like Howard Stern. So now we're bringing it back. It's reversal.
You can play different notes. It's, you know, good for it's people
Penn,
to know.
It's Penn State Week. Okay, so coming out of, Bill had this line of questioning of Ryan Day today, and it's kind of, you kind of been asking this on and off in different ways the last few weeks. They haven't really been tested. Is he confident that they're going to hold up if they need to come down? And he did kind of push back a little bit. He did mention Wisconsin. You know, he has to say, Ryan Day, he did have to say something. Joey's chomping at the bit here. He's got this, he's on this jag of they have been tested, they've exceeded tests, la-di-da. Go ahead and say your piece on that again, Joe.
Well, I don't agree with the narrative that they haven't been tested, because it implies that you have just played JV teams week in and week out. And they've played some good teams. Cincinnati's a good team. Wisconsin's a really good team, I think. Wisconsin's a top 15 team. So it's not as if they've gone through the schedule and played nobody. Indiana's another good team that probably could be ranked. So the idea that they haven't been tested, you're basically penalizing them for beating teams up so badly in the first half that they don't play their starters in the second half. Well, that doesn't mean they've been tested. It just means they've beaten them by a lot of points. I think the correct way to look at it is their players haven't played in high leverage moments.
Well, that's okay. That's
which is
what people are
which
saying.
Is,
I think that's what people are saying.
Which it's like if you're a baseball player, it's bottom of the seventh inning. It's 3-3. You have to drive in a run with two outs. That's the situation that Justin Fields hasn't been in. He was asked today, when was the last time you had to lead a team on a big drive in the fourth quarter? And he said junior year of high school.
Was it Hope? Is that what he said against Pope?
Rome?
Rome against Rome.
Georgia. Come on.
He probably needed to give that room of reporters more of a geography lesson on Georgia, because I don't think anybody knew what the reference was. But that's a long time. Yeah. He was a junior in high school. That was 2016. That was 3 years ago.
He said he's the kind of guy who doesn't get too high or too low, and so he won't be flustered by the pressure. I mean, I have to think that these guys, in the back of their minds, want to be tested in the fourth quarter, as long as they know they're going to win. It's one of those things. You know, you want to kind of have the thrill and the fear as long as you know you win. You know, they'd love it to be 49-10. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but that's... They'd love a blowout. And I think if they blow out Penn State, then I think Joey's point about, yes, they have been tested and they've just gotten A pluses on the test is valid. But at some point this year, whether it's against a Big Ten team or in the playoffs, they're going to be tested. They're just not going to run away in every game. It's just not going to happen.
We're talking about that moment that Joey's, the test right. being not just every game's a test, but this whole very specific, you know, bottom of the ninth moment.
We've got the pit in your stomach, like, if I don't do this, we're going to lose. Thing.
Right, right. A Kenny Guyton
right.
moment.
Right.
A JT Barrett against Penn State, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
Two years ago.
As clutch as can be.
Right. And even last year, Haskins throwing it to the big play by
Marcus
Ben.
Ball.
Wasn't it Victor?
Ben Victor
and made the play. Those kind of moments. So we'll see if this team, as I call it, the it factor. You know, and I'm taking some heat on that on social media. What are you saying, they're weak? No, it's the it factor. It's what the 2002 team had, which wasn't probably as good a team as this, but it did have that ability to reach down and win big games. You don't hold that against the Buckeyes right now, right? I mean, they don't pick
their
schedule.
Fault.
It's not their fault. But it's a legitimate, I don't know if concern's a question. It's a curiosity.
Yeah, and I think what will be interesting, if there is a close game Saturday, is how often do they do things like run Justin Field? You saw it a little bit against Wisconsin where they started to run him more in the second half. Remember early third quarter when the game got tight and they had that drive. They ran him a couple of times. And Urban Meyer at halftime, I remember, of Wisconsin, Ohio State mentioned that you got to run Justin Fields more. And people kind of joke, there's nothing Urban loves more in a close game than running the quarterback. And it'll be interesting to see if Ryan Day is similar, different in a close game. How much does he lean on Justin Fields' legs, or does he continue to let Fields sling it? Because they've let him throw it more, air it out a little more the last couple of weeks. But was it Maryland or Rutgers, or was that a pattern?
Here's my take on that. I think at this point, and he referenced this, you stick with what you've been doing. Because if you have not been in that bottom of the ninth moment, and then you think, oh no, we're going to have to start running Fields, well, that could smell a little bit like panic. Why not just do what you do, do it well? Yeah, I think maybe Fields will have to run a little more, but I don't think you want to come down and have to rely on his feet, because I just think that's risky. Anyhow, we're going to wrap up here. Predictions for this Saturday, yeah. Yeah, we do predictions. Bill doesn't want to do a prediction.
We want people to pick up the paper and see our predictions. We don't want to spoil it now in the podcast.
Well, who's going to win? We won't even tell you that. How about that? You don't have to give a score.
I also like to procrastinate and wait.
Oh, okay. I'll go out on them. I think Ohio State will win.
Okay. Well, you guys are touchy. You guys just don't like to put it out there. Buckeyes will win. They will win by 14 points or more. You heard it here. Joey, we'll let you off the hook. You can ponder this.
I kind of think Ohio State by 2 touchdowns. Oh, so not quite covered.
Roughly 14 points.
Yeah, roughly, yeah. Okay.
We're also going to be in agreement where the 19-point spread is a little too much to say they're going to cover.
I would agree with that. All right, thanks for joining us. Where can you find us, Joey?
You can find us on BuckeyeExtra.com. There's only one E in there, by the way. And you can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. Those are the main podcast places, I'm told. Then that Podfather says we should tell people to listen to. And if you like us, leave us a review.
If you don't like us, don't.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
All right. Thanks for joining me.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Game day tastes better with Raising Cane's tailgates full of 24-hour marinated, hand-battered chicken fingers.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.